welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter. I'm here with the Greg Wilson.
Hey, buddy.
As well as Tyler Bowe.
Tyler Bowe! He and
What's
I finally
going?
Had a show together.
Finally had a show together.
At last.
At last.
I want to thank our sponsors.
At last.
Thank you. I want to thank our sponsors, American Icon Autographs, AIASE.com, the best sports and celebrity memorabilia and events. Signed collectibles from the UFC, WWE, baseball, football, movies, and everything else in between. Their past signings have included Fedor, Sakuraba, Rampage, Big Nog, Hoist Gracie, Marlies Conan, and more. This guy who is in charge, Sean, he is the man. So check their website to find out who's signing next. Go to their events, meet their celebrities, and build your man cave. Also, tip a fighter. Listen, fighters are underpaid. I can't tell you how many fighters have two, three, four jobs. Well, now the fans can make a difference. It's not a charity. It's 100% pay for performance. We reward fighters for exceptional performance. It's safe. It's easy to do. Come on, you tip all kinds of people. You tip a cab driver, a Uber driver, a waitress, a stripper.
Sometimes a barista, like people at a counter that have a tip line. Do you ever feel like, well, there's a tip line, I guess I should give them something?
Exactly.
Right?
I can't tell you. I do shows, people tip me all the time, and I take it, and I'm like, thank you.
Yeah.
So, tipafighter.com, find out who's on their roster. Someone we're talking to today, Kevin Lee, is also a tipafighter. So if you like the way the phenom, Kevin Lee is on the show, you could tip him. So, also, I want to thank D-Cypher, the lifestyle firm. It is...
I love these guys.
It's a lifestyle firm dedicated to make your life better. Today's world is full of difficulty. Why not make life easier? D-Cypher, D-I-C-Y-P-H-E-R, is a company designed to cover a wide range of issues, all with the goal of making life painless. They specialize in life coaching, mental coaching, negotiations, personal advising, even business consulting. All services designed to help you maximize your full potential. I'm telling you, they take a no-bullshit approach to a coaching. The coaching is done by phone rather than in person, so allowing clients the ability to reach them at any time. They've helped out celebrities, MMA fighters, porn stars, boxers, and many more.
You know, it's funny. They recently helped me. I was trying to decide whether or not to go with a flavored condom, and they were like, it's a hooker. Who fucking cares?
Nice.
So, hell of a decision, guys. Save me $3.
So, D-Cypher, D-I-Cypher.com. Book a coach today. So, by the way, enter Dodgeball for 10% off all services. Dodgeball. So, how's everybody doing? Everybody doing good?
Good, man. Going back to Vegas tomorrow night. Friday night, if you're in Vegas, I'll be at the South Point.
Oh, you're nice.
Dirty at 12:30?
Yeah, Dirty at 12:30, man.
It's
one of my home shows there.
Good for you. Dirty at 10. Nice. Are you doing Saturday, too, or just Friday?
Just Friday.
Okay, cool.
But Greg, you're pretty much always dirty.
That's why I'm a perfect fit for
why
that
just
show.
Why just restrict yourself to 12:30?
Well, listen, I don't.
He's dirty. He's like dirty at 4:30 in the afternoon.
5:30 and 6:30 and 7:15 and...
You should have heard my 10 a.m. act today. It was so filthy. It was all about mid-fight boners and...
I was actually having a rough go. I actually... after Monday's show, I went and coached wrestling. That was awesome. And then... actually, we talked about this, right? On Tuesday, we did that. And then Tuesday, I took the night off. I had a date Tuesday.
You took the night off?
Yeah, I took the night off. I had
from comedy
from
the dating, too?
From comedy. I had a date. We went out for dinner.
I love it. This guy, I don't know what he's more addicted to, comedy or pussy.
No. So I actually met a girl who I actually like. We'll see. We'll see how this goes.
Is it the girl I met with you, met you with at the home?
No. It was another girl.
Okay.
But
can we talk about that girl?
No. She's a cool chick. That girl's a cool chick, too. I'm not committing anything right now. Because that's what I do. I commit way too fast and
I get
stuck in these situations.
Yes.
So I'm just keeping my eyes open.
You know, here's the thing. It is possible for you to not be on whore fest and not be in a relationship at the same time.
Yes.
You seem to think that it's either whore fest or relationship with no time in between. Angie Everhart sometimes.
Right.
I used to do a podcast with her.
Yeah.
And in the 90s, she was one of the most famous women in the world.
Okay, so I went on this date, and it was one of those things where I just knew right away we just didn't have it. You know, like you just...
Yeah, that's easy to see.
Sometimes you just... It was a Tinder date and yeah. we sit down. I think she could see the disappointment in my eyes, like of just... She just knew.
You don't look like your picture.
Well, you were tired already, so I'm sure you weren't exactly hiding your emotions well.
I was trying to, because I was... But it was one of those things where the girl kept laughing at all her own jokes in the mid-sentence. Like, now the joke was even... But she just kept laughing about everything she said. Yeah. And it was like... She was a cool and a nice Asian woman. She was sweet, but it just wasn't, we weren't really connecting.
So like, after you banged her, just
there was no banging. I just went out for dinner. And then at one point she's like, she talked about how she liked going through like Europe, you know, and like how she would hitchhike through Europe and Australia. One of these stuff.
So she's got some wild diseases.
And I was like, yeah, you know, tell me, it's probably not.
Hey, listen, you don't hitchhike through Europe and Australia and not come back with the kangaroo clap or some shit.
Well, I told her, I said, I go, it doesn't seem very safe to do that. She's like, oh, most guys who pick me up don't have guns.
I go, that's the real concern.
I go,
guns.
I go, yeah, but they,
not gonorrhea.
I go, but they have cocks, you know. And
she has no problem with those.
Well, I was more about getting raped. I'd be concerned about hitchhiking. You know,
I wonder how many guys pulled out a gun, and she was like, "You don't need a gun."
It was rough.
Fuck you anyway. Just drive me to a Heidelberg.
Yes, that's the very. Thank you for the offensive accent. No, I'm just.
Are any of my accents not offensive?
No, absolutely
have I done
not.
One that isn't.
Absolutely not.
So, Ireland hates me.
They do. we'll talk about the UFC Ireland.
But Jamaica loves you.
Speaking of Ireland, the UFC was supposed to be in Ireland. It's going to be in Ireland this week.
Yeah.
And first, the Ben Rothwell, Stipe Miocic fight gets canceled. Oh, and now it got rescheduled. Stipe is actually fighting Arlovski in January. So Rothwell got totally screwed. And now, yesterday, the Joe Duffy fights off.
Yeah.
So
they got no fights.
So, yeah.
They have a straight undercard.
Well, they got some good guys, but it's the main event is Paddy Holohan who against Lewis Smolka,
which literally sounds like a name they're like no like that they made up, like no we got Paddy Holohan headlining the fight, right?
It sounds like a rematch of a fight that happened last week at a bar or a pub, you know. Yeah. They're like, I'll see you next week when we fight in the UFC.
Is that like the guy from Dodgeball who threw wrenches? Wasn't that Patches O'Houlihan?
Yeah, Patches O'Houlihan.
Patches O'Houlihan. Yeah,
that's
right.
His cousin. His cousin's fighting.
If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
So yes, yeah, so no, that was my favorite Rip Torn roll, by the way. Go on.
Oh, I just nothing.
Thanks, Tyler. The timing is impeccable.
It is. That's why I bailed on it, because it was already shot.
It's good to have us both on the same show.
So Hector. So by the way, so Lewis Smolka, who I like, he's 10-1. He's Hawaiian. Paddy Holohan is 9-1. That's the main event. Reza Madaddy, who is fighting Norman Park. I love Norman Park. He's this crazy Irish dude. But Reza Madaddy actually went to jail for stealing purses. He actually beat Michael Johnson. I think it subbed him, I think, in the second round, and he goes to jail.
Oh, I thought you were going to say he beat him at stealing purses.
No, he actually, he was banned for stealing purses. He had to go to jail for that. And now this is his first fight back.
Yeah, but while he was kicked out of the UFC, he was accepted into the Wu-Tang Clan.
How much time did he get for stealing purses?
I think like a year.
What?
And then actually Norman was talking about, don't try to pick up the soap during the fight. He was tweeting him, like,
talking about he's in jail, like, who's my daddy? Who's my daddy?
Nicholas Dalby's fighting Darren Till. Dalby's 14-0, Till's 13-0. It should be a good fight. John De Los Reyes versus Neil Siri. John's from Guam. I got to root for the guy from. I've actually been to Guam. I went to do a comedy show for the troops in Guam.
They've got Mexicans in Guam?
The Guam people are huge.
Yeah, I was going to say, they're like Samoans and Hawaiians. They're those big island people.
I ended up going to a strip club in Guam. I went to like 12 of them.
There was only room for one dancer.
I gave a stripper a lap dance in Guam. I swear to God.
It was because you were in better shape.
No, she was a white chick. I went in the green room. I go to the VIP room. I go, I'll give you a dance. She's like, okay. I gave her a dance. It was fun.
Did you whip your dong out?
I did. Back out there. She played it. But nothing. I ended up going back with her. Slept over there, and she wouldn't really put out. It was like, I made out with her.
But did she tip you?
Yes.
Oh, that's cool.
I was a tip a dancer. yeah, and then there's some good fights. Actually, like, Aisling Daly's fighting on the undercard. Cathal Pendred is fighting Tom Breeze. Breeze is 8-0. I'll tell you, Robert Whiteford, who I like, he's an American Top Team guy. He's fighting Darren Elkins.
He actually just followed me. Shouts out to Robert.
That should be the fight of the night, the Robert. And Robert Whiteford listens to our podcast, which is good. So,
I just want to give you some fucking pasta or something. Just get you some energy.
By the way, Bubba Jenkins walked in, guys, in case you didn't know.
Yeah. CPT time.
But yes, Bubba, you do seem very kind of lethargic.
I'm chilling, man. I'm chilling.
You're chilling?
I'm focused. I'm ready to go. I'm 29 days out from beating the brakes off of Jordan Parsons.
Yes. I was at ASU, man. I told you how I saw it to your old stopping grounds.
Up. Yeah, my wife was like, I wonder what that conversation was about. Good old days.
Yeah.
I don't know how you did it at ASU, man.
Man.
Talk about a party school.
I tell people all the time, if I went to Arizona State for my first 4 years, I probably would not have become the national champion I was. It's because I went to Penn State, where it's a little bit colder and a little bit more strict on the athletics and the schooling, that it was like, okay, I know how it is to become great. And then when I went to ASU, I was just like, oh, man, it's going to be hard to keep up with that.
I went to Mill Street, man. Holy shit. The women there, we invited strippers to meet us there. They were the most clothed girls. Like, you'd be like, who? If you said, who are the strippers here?
It's too hot to wear clothes.
Just naked chicks. I mean,
in the classroom.
Oh, my God.
In the classroom. It ain't like the teachers are like, you know, put clothes on. You know, they're just like, all right, we'll see you.
It's hard to learn when most of the blood is flowing to your dick.
It's also hard. Like, at this point, like, I'm 37. I don't know. Greg's 60. Tyler, how old are you?
It doesn't matter. I'm married.
Okay, thank you. But at this point, like, now girls, at a certain point, when you get old enough as a guy, where girls get hotter just by being younger. Like, just the fact that she's 20.
Oh, totally.
Just the fact she's 23.
Yes.
She's just gained 2 points.
It's like home field advantage. If you're under 25, you get an automatic 3-point bump.
Yes.
So if you're a 6, but you're a 23-year-old 6, you're now a 9 to me.
But when I was 23, I wasn't thinking
not
that
at
way.
All. You don't give that because you're that same age.
Yeah, but now that I'm like 37, like, the fact that they're 23, they just have that hard body,
well, that's the thing, like,
fit thing.
Even the chub is different. It isn't that loose chub. It's like a firm.
Well, you're talking about your chub or their chub?
No, their chub.
Right.
My chub is still...
Your chub is still firm.
Still firm.
Unless you're on coke.
Yeah. Well, then it's still pretty good, too. I just got to get there. It's about getting there. Once I'm there, baby, I'm there.
All right.
But you know what I mean? Like, it's that firmer chub, like those bamboo pillows. You know what I mean? Like, it's a nice firm chub. It's not like an old feather.
No, you're right. I'm telling you, there are girls
it's rock
that they're
soft.
It's rock soft.
Their girls, their faces are just like, but their body and the fact that they're 22, you're just like,
yeah.
And the fact that you could still score a 22-year-old makes them hotter too. Because
I don't know about that.
Oh, shut up, dude. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
No, I'm saying I can't. I don't
yes,
go
you
out
can.
And do it. I don't go do it.
You
I can't
can
it.
Though.
But I can.
But you
dude,
have.
I had an 18-year-old say she wanted to go home with me the other night, and I had to just about face and get the fuck out.
Was it your kid?
No. Was it yours?
Yes. Wait, so 18-year-old says she wanted to bang you?
Yes, she wanted. I was getting ready to leave, and she's like, I'm going with this guy. And I was like, I gotta go. And
really?
I just turned around and walked off.
But you thought about it?
Well, of course I thought about it.
He went home and thought about it.
I went home. I drove home with no hands on the steering wheel. Okay.
Good call, though, Greg. You got those. That's like, I got buddies that are like, oh, dude, I met her. No, she's young, but like, I'm like, how young? They're like, she's in her early 20s. How early? 18. I'm like, you got to stay away from that.
I can't even watch. I can't even watch porn, like, where they go teen porn. I don't even click on that.
Are you kidding me?
You watch that?
I don't get out of that category.
Come on.
No, it's teen, and then whatever freaked out fucking amplifier I want to put it, like, teen first time. Oh, that's a great search.
Come on, dude. You're not worried about turning your computer in, and all of a sudden it just...
What? I'm not the regulator. They're supposed to be regulating to make sure these girls are 18. I'm not in charge of that.
Come on.
As far as I'm concerned, once it's on their website, I feel like it's cleared the vetting process.
So you just put your trust in the internet.
Yes. Just like every other guy in this room, you
I
fucking
don't.
Lying
teen
hypocrites.
Porn, I click out of it, even though I know the actresses aren't real teenagers and that they're the porn stars, because I can recognize them from MILF porn also. It's the same girl. I'm like, wait a minute.
I like to recognize the couch. That's like, yeah, I know that couch. That guy's
oh,
doing
sorry. Some lady just walked in and closed the door. She heard
and the look of disgust on her face. She looked like she threw up in her mouth. She was literally like, what are you guys talking about?
But she still is kind enough to quietly mouth the words, can I close the door?
That was so funny.
I feel so bad now. It's a comedy show.
She thinks differently of you, Greg.
No, she doesn't.
No, she already assumed that.
My problem, she saw me and was like, oh, that explains it. And then closed the door. Yeah, teen porn's hot, man.
So anyway.
You ever look at upskirt stuff, the upskirt videos?
No, what's an upskirt video?
Nothing, forget it. Forget I look, Bubba knows what I'm talking about.
Now, Bubba,
come on, Bubba.
Now, Bubba, I know that you're married. Do you still watch porn or no?
No, I don't watch porn.
Come on.
I honestly don't watch porn.
Why?
Want to save that juice?
Many reasons. One, it's not religiously ethical.
Oh, come yeah. on. Oh, that's right. That's right. You're back over.
Yeah. Over I'm there. Actually in the middle of my fast right now. So.
Oh, okay.
So, you know,
what religion is this?
I don't really call it religion. I'm just spiritual. Like I got a relation with God. Yeah.
So right. when your fast is over, do you watch? When your fast is over, do you watch porn or no?
No, I don't watch porn. I don't watch porn.
Have you ever watched a porn?
Yeah, I'm a guy.
He's been in like 30.
Yeah. Yeah. I've watched a porn before for sure.
Okay.
But no, I don't watch porn. I mean, it's not that I have a wife. I think, you know, if she was into it, we'd watch porn together and stuff. But you know, she's
have
not
you
into
asked
it.
Her if she's into it?
She said she would watch porn, but I don't watch porn, so it's not right. like, hey, babe, I would watch porn. It's like, oh, okay, well, let's watch some porn. It's just like,
so
oh,
keep it on
would?
Deck. Like, keep it on deck. If we ever need that, babe, it's good to know we can
exactly.
flip it on and you're
I'm
cool.
27. When we're 37, it's like, hey, you know.
Yeah, right. Turn that on. Oh, shit, there I am. I didn't realize her phone was running. Shit, take that off, baby. Right.
But it's something to hold on to later down the line type of thing, you know. But right now, we're young and full of energy. And, you know.
Have you ever been to a strip club with your wife?
No, she would never go to a strip club with me. She wouldn't want me to go to a strip club by myself.
But she would watch porn with you.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. Huh. I've been to a strip club with my fiance. It was fucking hot.
Nice.
Yeah.
There you go.
I don't think she can see. Like, if we watch porn, it's like those girls can't touch me and I can't touch them.
You know, can't touch the girls at a strip club. You
sure
cannot.
You can.
What? Well, you're not
supposed to. It depends on which club you're at.
Yeah, give me a
Tyler
break.
Bowe can't touch the girls.
They put your hands on them, those strip clubs I've been to.
Yeah. I've seen dudes get roughed up, though, if they touch the dancers.
You ain't been to Spearmint Rhino.
I was at one where I kept touching the girl and the door guy, the bouncer kept walking and he goes, hey, there's cameras all over this place, you know? I'm like, great, enjoy the show. Like, what do you want me to do, man?
One of the funniest strip club stories I've ever been to was the girl was on doing the pole trick, and then she was wearing these, like, cheap heels. So she just comes down, the heel breaks from her shoe, spurts out and hits a girl in the face.
Oh.
And the girl starts crying.
Awesome.
I was dying laughing.
That's so great. God, you got to be there for that.
Those are the risks you take when you sit at the rack.
It was unbelievable.
That's true.
So anyway, so back to what was I talking about? So I had a rough day yesterday because I drove to wrestling practice, which is like my highlight of my day to coach. And then me and Brian Swinehart came. B. Swine, who's helping me coach.
Got
and
nice then hair there, kid.
We drive over there. And then my car, it turned. I went to go pull the car up a little more. It turned on, but it wouldn't drive. So then, like something. And then all of a sudden, all these lights started showing up on the dashboard on the Honda Civic. It said like
so
a key light.
So like it's an electrical problem.
I don't know what happened. I had to call a tow truck. But then like 20 minutes later, I go check on it. The car starts. So at that point, I'm like, all right, I'm driving to the home, canceled the tow truck. So I left the other guy at practice, the other coach at practice. I didn't get to coach. That was just fucking annoying. You know, it was just
long day, bro. Long day.
Long day. And but before that, I found out that those MMA roasted videos I do, they're not doing anymore. The company that I was doing them for, that was paying me for them, blah blah blah. They said that the budget, yada yada yada. So they can't. They have to move out to other shows because one guy quit, and then the other producer was going to come over, and they needed that producer for something else. It was a whole thing. So that just sucked. Because I really enjoy doing those. I love doing the cameos. But you know, and I was getting paid. I wasn't getting rich off of it, you know. But I was getting some money, and I'm just like, ugh, it was just I enjoyed it. But at the same time, I tried to look at the silver lining. One door closes, another one opens up. I'm spending a lot of time on these MMA roasted jokes.
Yeah.
And I could be doing it on other stuff. I have a movie I'm trying to produce.
Yeah.
I have another TV show I'm trying to sell. I'm shooting a TV show next week. I'm doing the MMA awards. Maybe maybe it's a blessing in disguise. You know, I wasn't gonna. I can't retire off this money. Yeah, I'm not losing $50,000 an episode or something. You know, so I just said, okay, maybe I have to reevaluate.
I like tweets from last fights. Text from last fights.
That was funny.
That was my favorite thing that you.
But these videos were funny too. But it was just like, what are you gonna do? I did everything I possibly could to get hits. I would DM all the fighters. Please, you know, tweet this out. Did everything I could. So it sucked. But I called Tyler. Tyler lifted my spirits a little bit. And then I had
that probably explains why you didn't call me.
and then I had a show. I had a show last night. That's the good thing about comedy is that no matter how bad your day gets,
go out and do some comedy.
Do comedy. I did Jay's show last night.
Oh, fun.
And it was packed. I had a blast. It was fucking therapeutic. So, you know,
is this
good.
The one that's at the nightclub?
Yeah.
So that was good.
Yeah, that was cool.
That's great.
And then, you know, I mean, there's certain things you control, certain things you can't control.
That's right.
But I was bummed.
And you didn't pull any beef out of the show?
No, there was no beef to be pulled. I mean, there was a little bit. There was some hot chicks, but I went there, I left, I had to prepare for the.
He was looking for therapy, Greg.
Yes.
He was looking to console.
Listen, he looks for almost everything at the bottom of a vagina.
It's usually found there.
It is. Listen, all your fortunes are down there.
Yes. But the thing about, you know, I mean, wrestling, I was talking about, you know, I'm trying to get Tyler to come coach with me. Like, wrestling, I love coaching because the sport did save my life. I mean, I would not be doing comedy. I would not have a podcast. I would not be an actor. I wouldn't be a host. Wrestling is what, like, I was a kid. When I was in sixth grade, seventh grade, I was running away from my house. But I remember I got sent to boarding school because I was hanging out with the wrong kids. In my school, my whole thing, I never had a mom. My whole thing was like, I got to be popular. I really want to be popular and accepted. So I hung out with the worst kids thinking that like they would think I was cool because in my school, the bad kids were popular. Right. Those kids just bullied me. Right.
You just wanted to hang out with them to be in that circle.
I just wanted to be seen with them. And then these kids, like, I mean, they would make me cry. They would beat me up and they would torture me. It was fucking horrible. They were the bad kids. And my school was very anti-Semitic. I remember, like, the Jews, like, we controlled the bar mitzvahs in seventh grade. And then in eighth grade, all these kids would hand out pennies to Jewish kids in Long Island. They would just be complete dicks. Yeah. They would make fun of the Jews. So it was a rough time. But when I went to high school, I found the only thing I actually was good at was wrestling. And the only thing I felt good about was wrestling. And it was one of those things, like, I actually built character, I built strength, I built confidence. So for me to give it back to kids in middle school, which was the worst time of my life, is godsend. I mean, I love it. I absolutely love it. So that's my wrestling spiel, which is why I'm trying to make this movie. Yeah. And so far we have raised $12,000. Obviously,
you give back so much, both in school and on Tinder.
Oh,
you're just such a giving person.
Oh, whatever, dude. I am a pretty giving person.
Saint Adam.
What do you give back?
That's what I'm saying. You're Saint Adam. I'm Selfish Greg.
No, you're not. You're not selfish.
I don't give nothing back.
You give back laughter.
No, that's true. And I actually teach stand-up, and I help these young comedians out tremendously.
That's true. Although I think you have a lot of courses that are maybe a little one too many courses. Like he has an intro to comedy. Then he has Then he have a hosting class.
I do have a hosting.
Then you have a featuring class.
No,
then
I don't.
You know how to deal with heckler class.
I do have that.
Then you had where to put the microphone class.
Don't have that.
Then you. How many classes do you have?
I took his one day intensive on stool humping, and it changed. It changed my act completely.
Yeah, he went from being booked to not booked at all. I'm telling you, these are miraculous workshops. But you also have to keep in mind those classes are one night classes.
Oh, okay.
They're not like 6 week programs on that one thing.
Okay.
It is meant to get you in there, coach you up on that one skill, and get you the fuck out.
Nah.
Because they are specific skills that most comics are bad at. Why do you think clubs have guys like us, they're always asking us to host shows? Because
we know how to do it.
Because generally it's the headliner that has the skill set, but is not actually the one that does the hosting. You usually have a shitty young comic host.
The West, the worst.
You go back and work East Coast a lot, right?
Yeah.
On the East Coast, on the West Coast, they usually have like the youngest comic host the show, which is so bad. On the East Coast, because I lived in Boston for a while, and they would generally put the best comic as the host, and they would have you host and close.
That's why they have me and Adam host.
I've seen so many hosts kill shows where they're like, They'll start doing songs in between.
Which is why I teach a class on it.
Dancing or...
Because if you are a good host, you can actually get booked a lot.
Yeah.
Because every show needs a good host. And if you're a young comic who's good at it, that's the best way to start getting booked. And that's A now.
Yeah.
Hey, buddy. Eddie just came in and touched my bald spot. It's really quite a generous moment.
Nice.
But that's why I teach that class. But it is just one night, because you don't need more than one night to show someone how to host correctly.
Oh, yeah, you do. Well, they have to do it. But yeah, I hear you. I understand what you're saying.
So go fuck yourself, Adam.
Thank you. I appreciate it. You're a nice guy.
We can't all play Tinder all
night. Listen, fuckhead. You're a great comic, and anybody would be lucky to take your class. You're one of my favorite comics in the world, which is why I have you here every day.
Thank you. But that is the small way that I give back.
Meanwhile, I'm trying to live better. Like I eat such shit. I eat out every single time. I don't know how to cook anything. So I finally went to the grocery store, but I realized the stuff I was buying was frozen PB&Js. They're already frozen, so you just take them out.
They sell that?
God, and then they just you leave them for 20 minutes. I'm like, that's not real cooking.
That's sitting there.
That's straight up just defrosting.
That's thawing.
Yeah. That's
I thawed some PB&Js today.
Should put out a thaw book, Adam Hunter's Master Thaw Book. Thaw a meal in under 20 minutes.
You've heard of the raw diet, the thaw diet.
I have that. I have cereal. I have ice cream. I don't know how to cook anything. You know how to cook?
Yeah, I'm pretty good at it.
I'm
a great cook.
Really?
I can't
make anything.
I'm on the grill in the kitchen. I'm a good cook.
That's why I hate the one of the things I hate about the road is finding decent food to eat.
Yeah.
And then if I'm ever in a condo and they have a kitchen, I always cook.
Can I tell you which chain seems to have figured out where we're going as comedians?
Where?
Applebee's. I don't want to eat at Applebee's, but I eat at it almost every trip I take.
Really?
They're always where I'm at, and they're always the only thing where I'm at. There'll be nothing. There'll be a car dealership and Applebee's.
Yeah.
They're fucking amazing. These guys, they have figured it out.
I think that's their angle, though. They're so mediocre that their angle's we'll be the only game in town.
Right, we'll go where no one else is going.
And then people will come.
Yep. And that's how I wind up there all the time.
We're doing
this
thing right now that what it started about 3 weeks ago, where me and my wife, we can't, and I hate that it started right before McDonald's went.
Breakfast all day.
Yeah. That McDonald's is my favorite breakfast.
But they didn't include the McGriddle. I'm like, fuck
yeah,
you.
But McGriddle's seasonal type of thing. McGriddle's it'll pop up every now and then just to keep it spicy. But we're doing no fast food. If you can go through a drive-thru, if it has a drive-thru in any way, shape, or form, you can't eat there.
I love that your wife's in camp too.
But you shouldn't.
When I cut weight, my wife cuts weight.
You were an elite level athlete. You got to put premium fuel in that machine.
Absolutely. But then there's times that you've eaten for the last 6 days, you've eaten Subway because you've been so quickly on the road, and then you're like,
"Is that fast food? Subway is?"
No, yeah. It's not. It's not because there's Subway.
Yes, it is because they put Subways in gas stations. Yeah, that's worse than a drive. Right.
Subway's not fast. Okay, what about Boston Market?
I love Boston Market.
That's fast food?
Fast food.
Because it has drive-thru.
The only reason why I say Subway because there's certain things at Subway. Like at McDonald's, you can get a grilled chicken salad or something like that. But most of it at Subway is something that you would make at home anyways, a little sandwich or something like that, Obviously without all the crazy, other extra stuff.
My wrestling coach in high school, one time after our match, drove us to McDonald's and he said, "You all have to get salads."
That's the first time I ever heard
38 salads. 38 salads. Pull forward.
My coach was so funny.
We don't have enough for 38 salads.
We would have road trips, because a boarding school in Maine, we would have to travel 4 hours for matches. So we would take these vans, and they would put the vans down at the seats down, and we would just wrestle. We would show up to the school wrestling each other in the vans. But some of the funniest things we heard, one time there was a these kids were actually passing on an orange, right? And then they were they were fingering an orange. And they were like, "Wow," they're like, "it feels like a pussy. Feels like a pussy," right? So then
said the kid who hadn't touched a pussy.
Totally.
So one kid came home. I remember Jay Schroer came home and fucked the orange, right? And then told
the one that everyone was fingering.
Yeah, the one. Yeah, and then
he didn't even get a new one.
that's like sticking your dick in a bowling ball.
And then he and then he told people, and then the next day, like, everyone's like, hey, Jay, got any oranges? Like, he became the orange
guy. Orange fucker, yeah.
The orange fucker the rest of the season. Like, of course.
Why would he tell people? You don't tell people. You just do it and you throw that orange away.
Yeah, seriously.
Orange is like,
the professional.
Orange is going to rat you out. He ratted himself out. What an idiot.
Yeah.
You deserve to be Ryan the orange fucker after that, or whatever his name was.
Yes, Jay.
Jay, I love you. Jay the orange fucker.
Yeah. So anyway, back to eating healthy. I'm trying to eat healthier. I'm trying to live cleaner.
Now that we're done fucking fruit, back to eating.
I was always a dirty kid. Like, honestly, like, at summer camp, my bed had flies around it. Like, I was the only one. Like, I was like, in fifth grade. I was a filthy animal growing up. I didn't really learn how to be very clean.
Right.
So I'm making an effort. I have a cleaning lady come every week. Pay her $100. Yeah. She cleans my place
top to bottom.
Yeah. I went out and got some fruits and salads and chicken and turkey.
So what's the weirdest thing you've ever fucked? Like, inanimate objects? Like, what's the weirdest thing you ever put your dick in?
Nothing, but I fucked up on lotion plenty of times.
Okay.
Like, I thought, like, this tanning lotion will be good as moisturizer. and then have, like, almost severely burned my cock that way.
Tanning lotion?
Or, like, I think I might have used bronzer one time, and then my cock fucking turned brown.
But it looked fantastic on camera. Yeah. It looked, all the pictures were gorgeous.
Everyone's like, did your dick go on vacation?
God, he looks so refreshed.
So, yeah, I would say that I've mistaken lotion plenty of times.
What about you, Tyler? What's the weirdest thing you ever put your dick in?
Oh my God! I don't know. When you're when you're a teenager,
when you're a kid, you'll, like, do weird shit like fucking orange and shit. Like, everybody, I think, has put their dick in something weird.
No, I would not say.
You never fucked a couch. You never fucked a couch.
I never fucked a couch.
No.
What about Greg? Since you want to answer
the couch, I think the couch is the weirdest thing.
Come
I've ever
on,
tried
give
to
me
fuck.
A break. The
I'm
couch.
Trying to think. I'm trying to think, but I think the couch is probably the weirdest thing I ever tried to fuck.
That's it. The couch.
I think so.
Hmm.
And I only think it only went on for a second. I was like, this doesn't work. Somebody might have told me. He's like, dude, if you fuck the couch cushion, it feels like you're fucking a pussy. I'm like, okay.
I've tried fucking pillows and stuff. It never works.
Yeah, it never works. You think it's nothing.
And in high school, one of the worst experiences of my life was in high school. Because the kids would, you know, you live in boarding school, you have a roommate.
Yeah.
So I, like, you can't jerk off. You got to do the old roommate test. Like, hey, man, you awake? You know,
and then
hopefully you hear nothing. But the kid was awake, so I went to the bathroom to jerk off, you know, and, like, turn the lights out. I was getting into it. Then I hear giggling coming from the fucking, the bathroom stall. And my friend was beating off.
In the other stall. That's great.
But then he told everybody that he caught me jerking off, even though I caught him too.
Totally.
But he was a kid that you would know.
Bro, so listen, were joking off together.
Listen, I'm in the bathroom jerking off, and guess who I caught jerking off?
Well, because the thing was, I had, like, I was like the leader of the school in some ways. I was the star state champion wrestler. I was perfect. It was very unlike me to go jerk off in a bathroom, you know? So, but because he caught me, he told everyone, and it was rough. Like, the next day, kids were pointing to me at lunch and, like, giggling and stuff. It was like 300 kids in the whole school, so everyone knew.
We had a guy in my neighborhood that we called Fox Box because his name was, like, Steve Fox. And he had these boxes that he'd lined up and dressed up. He'd put clothes on these boxes, and he would unzip the pants and socks fuck the hole in the box. And he, like, had, like a wig head at the top of the boxes and shit.
Like a corrugated cardboard box?
Yes, and he would, a couple of them stacked up. The top would have, like, a shirt on it, and the bottom one had pants. I'm not even joking. He made this in his room, and he would fuck this box, and so we all called him Fox Box.
Fox Box is great.
Fox Box.
There was my first week of boarding school. I was in eighth grade. I was the only eighth grader there. I was 13 years old, and these kids in my dorm had a circle jerk where they're like, they got into a circle and they all beat off. They had, like, a race.
That's the worst.
So then, like, they told somebody, and they had to go in separate in front of the whole school talk about this. So they had a school meeting about it. And I'm sitting there like, where the fuck did my parents send me? These kids are all standing up, these five kids, like, I'm bisexual, crying, and this one and that one, they're all talking about. And I was just like,
yo, this whole conversation is just so out of the here. Like, I'm looking at each of you like, what were you guys doing? At no point.
Get pussy just thrown at us.
Right, right.
We don't get blown. We don't kick out of school for getting blowjobs at 15.
Right, I understand. Yeah. I can understand this. But when I was 12 years old, I wasn't sitting around thinking, you know what? I'm going to put my dick in something. And I don't care if it's human or not. I'm going to put my dick in something. I just never crossed my mind.
Of course
not.
You think that when you're 13. Gee, don't be sick.
Bubba,
you
weren't here. He was expelled from school. Yeah. But he was a senior for having sex. We're getting a blowjob from a girl. And somebody found the thing
and
posted
I reread up on it. And it was very informational because I hadn't read that one. I've read all of them, but I hadn't seen that one.
Read what?
It was the article that they had.
Oh, they put it in like the school paper?
No, it went to like the district court. Like he got kicked out of the school for getting a blowjob from
with
a girl.
Full ride to like, you know.
Oh, right.
50 different colleges.
Right, so it really ruined
and then
life.
I got expelled 3 months before graduation.
Yeesh.
2 weeks before state championships and a month before nationals.
Oh shit.
Being the number one wrestler in the country.
So it just fucked your life up.
Nah, it actually didn't. Like Phil was saying, it kind of, you know, prepared me for, you know, not doing anything crazy or later.
Right.
And, I was 17. The girl was 16. She was an ex-girlfriend of mine. So it wasn't like nothing crazy. You know,
it was just because you did it at school.
I wasn't even in school.
Yeah, that was a whole case.
That
makes no sense.
They were trying to make an example out of him being a black athlete.
2.5 miles away
and
from
a white
school.
Girl.
Yeah.
It's because you're
she
a white girl.
She wasn't a white girl.
She wasn't a white girl. Just didn't like black people.
They just threw the book at me, though. Virginia. Like, a lot of people don't really understand how, like, the area of Virginia still is. You know, I wouldn't say it's not Mississippi. It's not Alabama in the sense where it's, like, full-fledged racist. Yeah, but, I mean, you get caught in, say you're delivering packages in a white neighborhood. Before you get to your last door, the police will show up.
Wow.
You know, it's one of those kind of areas. I mean, you're delivering newspapers, and by the time, you know, there's a black guy rolling down the street on his bike delivering newspapers, let's go check him out.
Yeah.
That's not your fault. That's black people in general.
Plus, you know, the newspapers came 3 days late.
Yeah.
So, it was Friday.
They were getting Tuesday's news on Friday. Like, what's in the movies this week? I don't know. Let's find out next Tuesday.
Let's talk about, speaking of which, the Reebok t-shirts came out. There's a big...
I heard about this. So, I haven't seen anything about it.
Okay.
Fill me in. You give me all my
UFC?
MMA news.
Okay, here's what happened. So Reebok, everyone is very angry at the whole Reebok deal. Yeah, you know, the fighters are getting screwed left and right. They made a bunch of cuts, this and that. They're being underpaid. Well, Reebok came out with the t-shirts. So they were Ireland, a picture of Ireland, and it said UFC Ireland. However, they left out Northern Ireland. In the picture of it. So
a part of the country was gone.
Was gone.
That's like saying America, you cut off Florida.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, even worse, because the whole like history
cut off
of Ireland
Coast?
And Northern Ireland. And then not only that, it says Reebok thought it was a good idea to put show your UFC territorial allegiance.
Ooh.
Which is like, that's not really what the UFC is about. Like, we don't really go by territorial allegiances. I mean, maybe Brazilians will root for the Brazilians, but it's more like the fighter that we root for. It's not like, we don't really want to.
They just recently started kind of doing the whole team Europe versus team America. I mean, like.
We don't want to promote wars, basically. So
if this goes to the Olympics, things could get real.
So then they apologized about it. They didn't mean to offend anybody. People were very upset about it. Irish fans were like, what the fuck are you guys doing?
Yeah.
So, I live up here.
But the thing about stuff like this is you, like, when stuff like that comes out, it blows my mind because you know there's
how
like several channels. There's
yeah.
several, like, it,
yeah.
it's not like just one, like, hey, Greg, go make us a UFC Ireland shirt. Like, it's a couple of people. It's got to get checked off by a few people. It's got to go to printing, all that. And they missed a chunk of the country. They made like a sort of political statement, and you're like, what?
I think what happens is you have people that are in advertising. They're not MMA fans.
Yeah.
They're not UFC fans.
Clearly.
I mean, they put, you know, Gibbler Melendez. They put they put Mark Hughes instead of Matt Hughes. Yeah. I mean,
Lee was an Asian.
Yeah, all kinds of people. All kinds of people that have nothing to do with
the Chinatown phenom.
So they think, people think, they think that they the UFC fans are morons. They're like, territorial allegiance, yeah, we'll get behind that.
Yeah.
They don't understand that, like, these are very educated fans. They're not all of them, but a lot of them are. A majority of them are. And they're not just going to, like, be gung-ho. And they're going to also notice if you're missing part of the country, especially in Ireland. So,
well, and Reebok isn't like an MMA brand.
No, well, now it is.
Well, now, obviously, they're trying to be, but these kind of mistakes, obviously, they know nothing about the sport.
So, anyway, speaking of which, Conor McGregor offered to step in and fight Dustin Poirier. So, Dustin Poirier said, I'm not fighting anyone, which, I, you know what? I understand both sides. So, you know, people were going to try to give Poirier a short notice opponent. I don't know if you know this, Joe Duffy canceled the fight. Mm-hmm. So, I know that what's his name got Johnny Case wrote, I would love to fight in Dublin, Ireland on 2 days' notice, in Brazil, 2 weeks. The self proclaimed diamond is not a fighter. So Johnny Case says, Dustin Poirier responds by saying, fuck you, on Twitter, to which Johnny Case says the guy that chose not to do his job and fight, the choice was yours. No need to blame your team. So he's saying his team's, I guess Poirier is saying his team is saying, you know, they don't want me to fight.
Yeah, but no, that's blame your team. That's who keeps you in the game, in a sense, to make you make smart decisions.
Yeah,
we're all fighters. I would say 98% of the fighters that are fighting aren't scared to fight. You know what I mean? Call me tomorrow, I'll fight. But that's why we have the people around us to say, you know, the same thing with, like, football protocol. All those football players who get knocked out.
And yeah, they want to go right back on the field.
They don't care that you just got rocked, you know what I'm saying? But there's people that keep their careers longer. They keep them safe. I'm a fighter. Of course, obviously, I want to fight, especially if you're going to pay me. A lot of us will fight for free if it's, you know, a bar situation or something like that, you know.
we'll
take on a couple of a guy, you know. But it's like to say, oh, you know, don't blame your team. Those other people, and I like Case and I like Dustin. Both of them are, you know, not friends of mine, but I just know the guys who through MMA. It's a small world. But to say that one fighter is afraid to fight because it's a short, it's smart for him to have a team to say, hey, this doesn't look good for us later down the road or right now for a short.
You also train for one guy. You spent four months right. training for Joe Duffy.
Skill set.
Joe Duffy.
Specifically for what his skill set.
Because after the fight's over, no one's going to be like, whoa, you know, only in certain cases, like with the Mendez versus, only in certain cases did they make it a big deal that he didn't train. And he was
still,
it still counts on his record.
And it's still his stock went down.
It's still.
Yeah, exactly. He trained for Joe Duffy. Joe Duffy couldn't fight, okay? Honestly, I don't blame guys. If I train for one guy, a specific skill set for a guy like, okay, Joe Duffy, who's a boxer and who's got, you know, this and that.
Yeah.
If they change
a lot of different things about it. You know, they want to give you a Lamborghini and, you know, a new house. And, you know, they want to change everything, not just like, okay, well, this guy fell out, you fight him. It's like, okay, you got to do something for me, because if you look out for me, I'm going to look out for you, obviously. I know it's not in my best interest career-wise to take this fight on such a short notice. But if you're going to up it $500,000 and, you know, give me what let me go and pick out whatever car I want at the car lot, because I've known they've done this for some fighters.
Yeah.
Ooh. Then I'm going to go pick out me a Lamborghini. I'm going to get ready for this fight. I'm going to weigh in, and I'm going to receive my extra $500,000, because it's about my family at that point. But if it's a career choice where it's just like, well, everything's the same, we're just going to change your opponent. Whoa.
I think fight fans are so fickle, and like, there's such a double standard, because we love those guys that are tough, that'll like drop, like fight at the drop of a hat, and they'll love those guys. But also, when you look at a guy like Dustin or anyone who's trying to make a smart business decision, so he's slated to fight Duffy, that his opponent falls out, and he's probably going to get a lower ranked opponent, so he's got more to lose. Like, he'll probably beat, if they, he'd probably beat, 9 times out of 10 he'd probably beat whoever else they threw at him, but say someone catches him with a punch or whatever, then he's dropping in the rankings. So
he's,
it's like,
dropping in the
rankings, there's
dropping
this double
in
standards.
His opportunity, that loss can set you back a year.
Yeah.
Of in a year from now or 6 months from now, I should be fighting for the title. The way it's scheduled, the way I'm fighting, the way the guys who I got on my radar, I should be fighting for the title in a year.
He
or
also got
like
knocked
that.
Out
you
by McGregor in one round.
Yeah.
He's coming off a win, but he's not coming off 10 wins.
Right.
It's not like this guy's confidence is fucking booming. He's also at a weight class higher He went to 55.
He's up at 55 now.
And he was at 45 two fights
ago. That could set you back years.
And just because Conor volunteered to take, they wouldn't let him do that.
No, they would never let Conor. But
he's got a fight schedule.
Look, it's a smart move by Johnny Case. All of a sudden, everyone was talking about him. You know, Johnny Case, guys, now his name's out there as a guy who's willing to fight anybody. Johnny Case is a guy that should be doing stuff like this because Johnny Case is a good fighter, but he's in that stack of guys that are tough, good, but no one's talking about. And I don't blame him for doing this. Good for you, Johnny Case. Another guy who we're going to talk to right now, Kevin Lee.
Kevin Lee has
been making major headlines.
Motown Fiend,
because
I'm back again.
He has been talking a ton of shit about Sage Northcutt.
I read some of his tweets.
So we are going to talk to Kevin Lee. I love this
dude.
I think
Sage's nickname, if we gave him one, it should be Sweet Tea.
Why?
I don't know. It just seems to fit Sage Sage Sweet Tea Northcutt.
Let's ask Kevin Lee what his nickname should be.
Sweet Tea.
Sweet Tea. So nice on a hot day.
Hello.
Hey, Kevin Lee.
Yo, what's good?
What's up? You're on the MMA Roasted Podcast. It's me, Bubba Jenkins, Tyler Bowe, and the Greg Wilson. How are you, man?
Konnichiwa.
I'm good. Are we on right now?
Yes.
Live.
Well, it's not live. It's tape. But
we're really never live.
Yeah, but well, hopefully soon we'll be live. Now, Kevin, you have been making major headlines as of late. You have a big problem with this guy, Sage Northcutt. You said if he fought you, it would be the shortest career he's ever had. Correct?
Yeah. Yeah. And what I mean by that is high profile, you know, because guys come in. They, they get a one and done all the time, but he'll be the shortest high profile career that the UFC's had for sure.
So you're
for
wait,
real. If he fought me in December, it'd be a wrap.
So you weren't impressed by his performance against that
El
guy
Vato Loco
against what's his name, Trevino?
Yeah.
No. I mean, come on, you're supposed to do that, you know? You're supposed to do that when they give you a fat out of shape. You know, the kid had a muffin top, you know, he wasn't ready to fight. You're supposed to go in there. I mean, he didn't even hit him. You know, the kid slipped on the first punch, and, you know, when you're that out of shape and you're that nervous, anything that you get touched with is gonna put your lights out. So I ain't never fought a Trevino, but whenever you do, you know, that's what you're supposed to do. That's supposed to, you know,
yeah, usually...
it ain't nothing to be impressed by, you know. It's like a dude like who says that he takes care of his kids. It's like, yeah, you're supposed to do that, you fucking idiot, you know.
Now, but what about the fact that he does that really cool front flip? You know, that's not impressive to you?
Do I think that's impressive?
Yeah.
You know what? I seen Dana reposted that. You know, I'm going to take a video of me doing that front flip.
Really?
Well, let's see if Dana reposts it.
Wait.
Yeah, I mean, come on. It's a fucking front flip. It doesn't have anything to do with fighting ability, fighting. I mean, come on.
Wait,
how many thousands and millions of people can do a front flip, do that front flip?
You can do it?
I don't know. I never tried it, but I'm pretty sure I could. Give me a week, and I'll be the best front flip this side of the fucking Mississippi.
Nice.
Now, I mean, a lot of people are saying that you're jealous of Sage Northcutt. Are you jealous of him? Come on, let's be honest.
Probably.
Right,
yeah.
You are because you think that, like, look, you're 10-1, you did all this stuff, you took the Aikita fight on short notice, since you knocked out James Munsari's last fight, and you're not getting all this, you know, treatment that they're kind of giving to this kid.
I'm 11-1.
Sorry,
I'm 11-1 first.
Yes,
and you're probably right. I mean, who doesn't want an easy road? You know, that's what he's getting, and who doesn't want that? So yeah, of course, it's gonna be a little. I mean, it's not only jealousy, but you know, I'm also sticking up for the rest of the fighters. You know, it's insane that he gets more press than fucking RDA. You know, the champ. You know, who is you know, I don't really like him either, but at least he earned his spot. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
If a guy earns it, okay, fine. I won't say shit about it. But when you don't earn it, and it's just given to you, then, you know, then I'll speak up and say some shit about it, you know?
And it's real for him to, you know, for him to be like, you know, is it jealousy? What do you think? And he's like, yeah, it's jealousy. Like,
yeah.
I got no problem telling you it's real. I ain't going to lie to you. Yeah, I'm jealous of the mother. Yeah, I'm trying to be his, you know, it's a
I
real.
Mean, yeah,
he
probably.
Ain't lying.
I mean,
about
I was,
it.
You know, I had the same shit going on when I was wrestling. You know, when I wrestled in college, guys have been wrestling since they were like 4 or 5 years old. I mean, Bubba, you know, like guys have been wrestling since they could barely walk. you know, and I always put a target on the kid's back because I didn't start till I was 16, you know.
Right.
But I would go out and I'd fucking put him on his ass, like, okay, since you know, I guess it's a little bit of jealousy, you know. I wish I had that book, you know. Since I don't, I fucking fuck that guy. That's what I do.
I know exactly fuck how you feel. Guy. I know how you feel as a comic. You know trust me, there are plenty of comedians out there doing it 2-3 years. All of a sudden, the next big thing, they don't have an hour of material. They don't even have a half hour.
Yeah.
And industry is just throwing shit their way. Totally. And you're like, what the fuck? So I know exactly how you feel.
You're like, fuck that guy, man.
I know. Now, Sage was, I hear, 16 and 10 as a high school senior in wrestling. Do you think you could beat him
that
in
wrestling? That is very impressive. And especially in the great state of Texas. You know how you know how they're known for their wrestling up down there.
So you don't you don't think this guy Fister is like a legitimate threat to him?
Do I think Fister is?
Yeah,
I think Fister would get fisted in fucking RFA or something. You know, like Fister doesn't even belong in the fucking UFC to begin with. You know, and I've said that long before Fister's even. We fought on the same card in Broomfield. And, you know, I seen the kid all, and I'm like, who the fuck is, like, they got a water boy up here. You know, I guess, you know, it's a fight promotion. You know, you have to have guys to win and you have to have guys to lose. But when you got a guy like Fister, you like, clearly you are just brought in to get beat up. And you accepting it for a very small amount of money. You know, I don't know how valuable his brain is to him, but. He or his dignity or anything, you know. I don't see it the kid's deal, but you know, he is not UFC. I mean, he's so far beyond UFC level that it's laughable.
Now we actually have Sage Northcutt here in studio. Sage, would you like to talk to Kevin?
Nice.
Hey, Mr. Lee, how's it going, man?
What's going on?
Hey, Mr. Lee, I saw your tweets on Twitter, but I was in class and I didn't get a chance to check my Twitter till I got out. But I'm really honored that you would tweet me.
Really? Now, how do you think you would do against Kevin Lee, Sage?
Oh, I think I'd do really great. I mean, I think he's a really cool opponent. I'd be really honored to fight him. And if Dana and like the Fertitta brothers would be interested in that, I'd really be interested in fighting.
Kevin.
Oh, God. See, somebody called in to MMA Junkie when I was on there last week and was like, oh, bring Sage in. I'm like, that would make for boring-ass radio because he's going to tell me how much he respects me and how much he blah, 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 blah. You know, that shit will get old very quick, and he'll find out, you know. He'll find out once he's up at TriStar, he loses a few fights, and then Faraz gives him the boot, you know. Once Faraz stops, you know, dick eating him all the time.
I mean,
he'll find out very quick that...
Yeah, but
you
I mean,
know, nobody in this business actually likes you, you know.
Well, I mean, Faraz said he's a young GSP, though.
Yeah, but GSP, I mean, not only was he with him from the very beginning, but GSP is a multiple time. I mean, he's one of the best martial artists ever. You know what I'm saying? You know, Faraz is giving the boot to a lot less guys than that, especially guys who aren't even fucking Canadian. Come from Texas, which is as far from Montreal, Canada, as you can possibly be.
Actually, you can get quite a bit further from. I'm
pretty sure, you know, if you go to the South Pole or some shit like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, Kevin, a lot of people got upset that you called him a rich, privileged white boy. They were calling you racist. Personally, I don't think you're racist, but do you regret calling him the white boy comment?
Do I regret calling him?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
No, that's what he is. Like, I didn't get right? that either, you know? Like, people were hitting me up about that, and they're like, you know, oh, you're a racist asshole and all. Like, that's what he is. He's a rich white boy. Like, you know, what else am I supposed to call him? A privileged Caucasian adolescent male? Or, you know, what am I supposed to call him? That's what he is. You know, I'm not going to call him a Mexican.
I think the technical term is cream puff.
All this shit about Brazilians and...
Now,
you know, it's crazy. Like, they fucking, people are like, oh, if he called you a poor black boy, would you get offended? I'm like, no, that's what I was, you know. I'm black. What do you want me to say, you know? If you call me a black boy, yes, that's offensive because, you know, there's fucking 400 years of discrimination against black people. There's never nothing against white people, you know. White people just want it all. They want to be able to say whatever they want. You know, they want all the money. They just want it all. Like, goddamn. Like, let us at least. Like, I'm black, you know. I that means I can say nigga and I can say honky at the same time. Like, I didn't get my 40 acres and a mule, so let me have that.
Well,
I mean, who doesn't want it all, though?
That, I mean, well, you
want it. I mean, true. True. I mean, I ain't going to give it to you either, you know?
You did get 40 white girls in a school, so that's pretty... that evens out.
No, I personally, I don't... You know, you calling him a pritch, filthy white boy, it's trash talk. I think anything goes in trash talk, personally.
Yeah.
And I don't think you actually meant, like, oh, he's anything wrong with being white. You just said he's...
If you support, like, you know, Mexico versus Puerto Rico for Cotto and Canelo, or if you go, you know, Brazil versus Ireland or whatever, if you support that kind of idea, like the nationalistic or whatever, like, you know, to me, Black America, White America, those are two different, you know, we grew up in two different we might as well grow up in two different countries. You know what I'm saying? So if you support the rest of that, you being a hypocrite if you say, oh, now you can't go black versus white people. I mean, that's great.
I understand what you're saying. I personally root for people who black, white. If they're American, I root for them. I even root for them if they're not American. So I understand what you're saying. At the same time, I think that, you know, you could get your point across. I mean, I understand why people – I don't know, man. Just – Now that you're explaining it, I'm kind of on their team. I think I like it better before your explanation, to be honest.
I'm kind of with your explanation. I like the explanation.
I don't want it to be a white versus black American. Fuck that.
He's white. I called him a white boy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it.
I get
exactly.
that. But now,
I mean, that's what it is.
But,
right?
but now he's saying there's like two different teams. I don't want to have to choose a team. I'm on Team Bubba. I'm on Team MMA Road.
I think that's the next season of The Ultimate Fighter, isn't it?
Yeah, white versus black.
White versus black America.
And then you have Sage coach the black team, and he coaches the white team.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just really happy to be on whatever team would want to have me.
it's Ultimate Fighter, the MLK season.
But no, basically, he's got to walk, you know, in a sense, the phenom, he doesn't walk thin lines, as you can tell the way he talks, the way he'll crush the ice with ever. You know, I'm pretty sure he doesn't make up, like, you know, he sees a pretty girl, he's not gonna make up any kind of crazy line. He's just gonna go up to her and be like, look, I like you. I've been staring at you, and I want you, kind of thing. You know
I want.
Mean?
That's it.
You know
that's
what I mean?
All you need,
and,
right?
And
cut
so
all
he's,
the filler, cut
right,
all the
right. So he's not going to tiptoe a thin line. And when you're talking about when a black person calls a Caucasian a privileged white boy, obviously the racial tension is going to be there, and there's going to be that thin line to, oh, you got to be careful with this. You got to be PC. You got to make sure that you're not, you know, tipping over. He's not going to walk that line, especially if he's saying how he feels, and what he feels doesn't have nothing to do with race. It has nothing to do with the fact that he's a black kid from Detroit and the white boy's from Texas.
Yeah,
you know
yeah.
what I'm saying? It has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with the fact that I'm calling you something, and whatever I say you are is a fact to me. Yes, you are rich. Yes, you are white. Yes, you're from Texas. So in my head, to translate that in my trash talking, it is a privileged white boy who has been given everything, period. That's all I'm thinking about. I'm not thinking about this thin line that everyone else is like, well, you know, well, let's flip it around. And says, what if he's called you a black boy? Yeah, you can only say that because black boys, when you say black, there's that racial tension against black people that we've been living with and dealing with for so long. But there is not that tension with white people. When you go out and say, oh, white person this, white person that, it's not like, oh, you know, oh, well, hold up, wait a minute, you know, because we live in what we
Yeah, but not all white people are from privilege, and not all black people are from
right,
the ghetto.
Right, but the,
you know?
The statistics are very much in the opposite direction. You get what I'm saying? Like, not all white people have been privileged. Not all. I mean, I know some in my hood. I know white guys. You know, I know white yeah. people that grew up right next to me. But then also,
not every black guy's been
not
prison.
Every. I know some rappers' sons who are rich. You
yeah.
know, and never not known what it was like to go to the dollar store. You know what I'm saying? So, but the statistics are drastically in the
yeah.
opposite direction. You know what I'm saying? So when they walk a thin line of how you're going to start depicting people's talking trash, especially when it's to grab the attention of the fighter and of the fight fans, saying, hey, I want you guys to know that I'm all about jacking this guy up, fighting this guy, whatever you want to do. I'm not here for the racial tension and things like that. If y'all want to bring that, y'all can bring that, but I'm
right.
not talking about that. What I'm talking about is the fact that I don't like what they're doing with this guy, and I want to jack him up.
No, and I understand that. And
I mean, no, you hit it right on the head. You know, that, I mean, that's pretty much, I couldn't say it any better.
I said it better for you.
yeah, I couldn't say it any better. You know, it was a 20-minute interview, you know, and at one point in the interview, you know, we started talking about my actual opponent, Leo Santos, and I you know, I called him a Brazilian. You know, I said he was like a slow Brazilian guy or old guy or whatever I called him, you know, but nobody talks about me calling him Brazilian, you know, but everybody just wants to talk about the white boy thing, and it's like, it's fucking stupid, you know? It's just what...
He is.
You know, it's just how I felt. You know what I mean? It's just what it is, really. That's what it is. So, yeah.
Now, you are fighting this side of Santos, who has not lost since 2009. Are you worried about his jiu-jitsu?
Nah, not really. You know, I train over at Drysdale's with the best black belts, and we're bringing up a couple. Guys are getting ready for No-Gi Worlds 2 weeks from now. So I've been doing the No-Gi camp with them. And, I mean, they got some crazy good black. I mean, like, you know, Leo was one of the best black belts in the world, but at, like, 10 years ago, you know what I'm saying? Like, when he submitted George with a flying armbar, you know?
Right.
That was 10 years ago. Like, the game is different now. So I'm bringing in, like, the new guys, you know, and I've been working with them. And, you know, I'm at the black belt level, so I ain't too worried about it. You know, I think he's slow. I think he's going to get beat up. You know, I'll watch out for him, you know what I'm saying? But. It's not even. It's more of a filler fight than anything. It's a fight to make a good paycheck.
Now, if you well, it's good to get out overlooking them. Now, if you now, if,
now it's if a filler fight, I gotta get through
smart,
that.
Right?
Get to Northcutt.
Now, if you do win, though, are you gonna call out Northcutt in the octagon?
He's already called out Northcutt.
Absolutely. Especially, I mean, I know
he's gonna destroy
Fitzer. You know, he's gonna look like fucking amazing doing it, which he should. You know, Fister's slow. Fister's, I mean, the worst lightweight that they possibly have on the roster right now. So he's going to destroy Fister. And, you know, that's 2 days before I fight at 194. And he's goddamn right. I hope he's in the crowd. I hope they give him, like, front row seats, you know, to see me whoop on Leo. And hell yeah.
I'll tell you what, Kevin. Honestly, I've been a fan of yours since you know, we've been friends for a while. You came to the show. You're a good mm-hmm. dude. I think I honestly think this guy Northcutt is the best thing that happened to you. The best thing, because now you're making all this, like, you got this kid who they're obviously rolling out the tree. Like, every Superman needs a Lex Luthor. You know, I really think this is good, because they're bringing him out, and you're sort of like the legit badass from Detroit who's going to be like, no, motherfucker, I earned it. I'm the real deal. Get this kid out of here. I think it's actually good for you.
You goddamn right, yeah. And you know, Chael Sonnen said it best. You know, he said the easiest fight for the most amount of money. And that's what it is. I mean, he's the easiest fight in the division for me for the most amount of money. That's what it's going
to
be.
And you are with Tip a Fighter, by the way. So if you, So if you like
absolutely.
The way, if you like the way Kevin comes fights, if you like this interview, throw him some money. Throw Kevin some money. Help him train.
Listen, Kevin.
Tipafighter.com.
If you ever get, when you do fight Northcutt, I hope it happens. Okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to tell one of your trainers to sneak in a bag of marshmallows. And then when you knock him the fuck out, I want you to take that bag of marshmallows and dump it all over
him. Why marshmallows?
Because he's a marshmallow.
He's a marshmallow?
He's a white boy marshmallow.
A white boy? Yeah. Why don't
you just dump a bunch of white marshmallows all over his sleeping body?
Oh, man.
I'll make sure they're minis, too.
Yeah.
So it's a whole bunch of them, and it leaves a fucking mess for the UFC to clean up.
Now,
that'd be great.
Now, it seems that Sage and Paige VanZant are together. I don't know. It seems like, now, are you worried?
Are they really?
That's the word on the street.
That's fucking
it's
going to
be
man.
The whitest kid ever.
Are you going to steal his... Are you going to steal Paige VanZant after you knock out Northcutt?
She'd be a one and done. Nah, I wouldn't steal her. She'd fucking annoy the shit out of me constantly. She'd be a one and done. That's about it.
That sounds like they're going to open up like a candle shop together, like Sage and Paige. Come on by Sage and Paige for some candles.
You know, I think that's exactly why they're putting them main and co-main.
Yeah.
You know, it's fucking ridiculous, you know? But
now, how do you think
the UFC is like trying to, you know, they're trying to play up every angle that they could.
Now, how do you think you would do against Conor McGregor?
Against Conor? If Conor ever comes up to 55?
Yeah.
I mean, I'd ragdoll Conor, you know? And not only that, I mean, Conor, he comes to Vegas every now and again. you know, Conor puts on like this big old hoopla and shit whenever there's like cameras and media around. You know, he's come to the gym a few times. He walks to the gym with his head down, you know. Unless he got like, you know, sometimes he comes through with his little entourage of people or whatever, then he's talking shit when there's like big dudes around him that stop anybody from coming over near him. But when he comes to the gym, you know, if he's dumb enough to come to the gym, he never works out with us. He never spars with us because he knows that it will give him the business, you know. We'll take it out on him for sure. But when he comes to the gym, he don't ever have shit to say, you know. He don't ever say shit to nobody, and, you know, he keep his head down. So I think he can be broken.
Well, I
think he's way too small for 155, too. Well, if he tries to come up to 155, he'll get ragged out.
We actually have him in studio right now. Conor.
First of all, if I come through your gym, it's because I plan to buy it. I'm not there to wrestle around with a bunch of amateurs.
Now, Conor, how do you think you would do against Kevin Lee?
I don't know, because I don't fight anyone that I can't see.
Oh, because he's black?
That's right. Someone turn the lights on so I know where to throw a punch.
Really? So he's like too dark for you?
No, he's just not in my league. He's not even qualified to talk to me right now.
Wow. Kevin, did you hear that?
But he's on the same podcast. I mean, come on. I mean,
I'm here on this podcast because I own the podcast.
Are you paying this man to do this? So
if you fought Kevin Lee, Conor, how would that fight go?
First of all, I wouldn't fight him myself. I'd send someone else to fight him first. Then I would show up and just do a little jig right there in the middle of the octagon. That's what would happen.
Mark my words, Conor would get ragdolled around the cage. You know, he's too small.
You can't afford a ragdoll that even looks like me, first of all.
You know, me and him stand next to each other, and you can tell. I mean, he's too small. He might go, you know, he not only can he not wrestle, but you know, he can't use his length. He can't use them kicks. I mean, he'd be in a world of trouble.
I would never try to wrestle you because I know how much you black guys like the redheads.
Really?
That's right. He'd be spending his whole time trying to date me.
So you think you could ragdoll Kevin Lee?
Of course I could.
Why?
Are you kidding me? Not just a rag ball, like a little wee rag doll that I rip the head off and take the stuffing out and use it to clean my ears.
Wow.
This is getting really, really weird. I'm not even gonna lie to you. I'm like actually like weirded out right now. The accent is just not doing it for me. You can't be Conor without the accent. I'm just saying.
What are you talking about?
Conor would be a nobody.
Conor McGregor is here to destroy you.
Accent.
You're the little phenom.
So you're the big phenom?
I'm the real deal. He's a shadow.
He's a shadow? That's because he's black?
Yeah, that's right.
You can't call a black guy a shadow in America?
Is this going to be MMA roasted, black versus white edition?
You started it, and I'm here to finish it.
All right, listen. Kevin Lee, you're one of my favorite fighters. You're a good guy. You work hard. We're all fans of you here. Good luck in your fight. I will try to make it. We'd love to have you back on the podcast, and thanks for calling in, man.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, hit me up anytime.
All right, thanks, Kevin.
Appreciate you.
Take care. All right, that was Kevin Lee. That interview was brought to you by Tip a Fighter. Fighters are underpaid. We need to get these guys more money. So go to tipafighter.com, add Tip a Fighter. If you like the way Kevin Lee was on the podcast, tip Kevin Lee right now. Also, American Icon Autographs, the best autographs, collectibles. They have signings like guys like Fedor, Sakuraba, Rampage, Big Nog, Hoist Gracie, Marlus Conan, and more. D-Cypher. It's the lifestyle firm. They can help people in confidence building, advising celebrities, help you reach your goals, youth and teen life coaching, whole family coaching, talk to people in need of a friend, employee life coaching, and mental coaching. So check them out, D-Cypher.
D-Cypher.
So what did you guys think of Kevin Lee?
We forgot to ask him what his nickname for Northcutt would be.
Oh, yeah, we forgot to ask him that. But what do you think about him in general?
Listen, the guy's the best. He is. Listen, I love it. Listen, he's smart.
Yeah.
He knows what he's doing. He's incredibly talented as a fighter. I love the guy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm waiting for him. I think he's like, you know, some of these guys, he's one big fight away from being a huge star.
Yeah. The thing I like about him, every time we talk to him or every time I hear him talk, I like him more and more because you're not going to get any fabricated, any kind of
fakeness.
He's real. If you don't want him to give you an answer don't ask him a question then. If you don't want to hear the real answer to the way he really feels, don't ask him a question that's, hey, so, you know, this whole new gay agenda, how do you feel about that? Don't ask him that question if you ain't trying to hear the real answer to it, you know?
I mean, look, there is a double.
He's real.
Look, there are certain things that black people could say, like the N-word. I mean, you could say it if you're white, but you might not like the results.
You might not
like the what's going to happen after you say it. That one. Thanks. Thank you, Greg.
I mean, Bart Black.
Yeah, right. Sure. You're after the podcast.
It counts.
Look, there are certain things that, like, there are certain things that I guess white people are still paying for the ancestors, you know, doing shit and stuff like that. And black people do have had it harder in this country, and it's just realistic. My grandparents were from Canada and Russia. You know, like that's, but you know, I'm me being a white man.
The nicest people and the meanest.
So, I mean, look, it's not all white people, it's not all black people. I think that Kevin might paint with a broad stroke, but.
Here's the thing. I think calling him a white boy wasn't a racist statement. He was just saying he was a rich white boy. I don't think that's the thing. People are making it a racist statement.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not a racist statement. He's just saying he's a rich white boy.
The same way he said in that same exact interview that he's going to beat up the Brazilian guy. When you say, oh, I'm going to beat up this Brazilian dude. Oh, no one said anything about it. Well, how do you feel about Sage? Oh, he's a privileged white boy.
How do you know he's privileged, though? How does he know he's actually privileged?
I don't know.
I forgot to ask him that question.
Because his parents paid for private karate classes for fucking 16 years.
There are plenty of people that are privileged to have karate classes.
Who?
Anybody? Go to the Y. And there's a local Y. You'll see karate classes.
They don't even have the Y anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. Maybe.
No, I'm saying why. Bellator this Friday night. There's some good fights on Bellator this week.
Any white versus black?
Yes. Brandon yes, Hayes.
A couple of them.
Brandon Housley, who we actually saw him fight. We saw him beat Kendall Grove. You're not a fan of him?
Oh, that's the he
now
was the champ, but he
opinion.
Lost his belt because of the he missed weight, right?
No, he's
no, that's exactly.
Oh, that's the guy. Oh, that is the guy. We saw him beat Kendall Grove. He's a good wrestler. He's built like an ox. I mean, the guy is like muscles upon almost like. There's a lot of rumors about him taking steroids.
Yeah. I thought that was heroin. I really did.
He's fighting.
I thought this was steroids in the butt steroids.
Well, since you can't see Bubba actually making the steroid injection, there's no point of actually commenting on it.
So he did an arm one, and I thought he was doing heroin. And then he said steroids, and I thought you injecting your.
I
ass
publicly have no comment on Halsey and his situation. You know,
right, just, publicly. Okay. Yeah,
that's why. To you guys, you know, I'll say whatever I want, but, you know, all luck to the guy.
So he's fighting Rafael Carvalho.
I just want to eat a sandwich.
Good luck.
So tired.
He's fighting Rafael Carvalho, who hasn't lost since 2011. Both have power. Who do you like in that fight?
Dodgeball.
Bubba.
Dodgeball.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
Dodgeball.
All right. That's a weird one.
That is weird.
Do you
know?
Why
are you friends with some of these guys, or?
Yeah, I used to be in their circle.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Right. Also, Brennan Ward, who was actually had a lot of hype behind him before he got knocked out by our boy from Binghamton. What's that? The Barn Cat, Tamden. Yeah. He's fighting Charles Ontiveros.
What? Who, I thought he was fighting Paige.
Oh, no. Brennan Ward is fighting on the card. MVP, Michael Venom Page, is fighting Charlie Oliveira.
So, you know all the UFC cards, but when we get to this Bellator talk, you don't know.
Who's fighting Brennan Ward, you know?
Michael Venom Page.
No, but who's fighting Brennan Ward, though?
Brennan Ward.
No, he's not. Oh, MVP is fighting Charlie Ontiveros.
Is he?
Yeah.
I thought MVP and Brennan Ward were fighting.
No. That would be a good fight. Instead, they're having MVP fight Charlie Ontiveros, who... had never had a Bellator fight. They brought him up from from Legacy or something, who lost to a guy last year who was
that
five.
That is news to me.
Who was five and
swear, not too long ago, I was just looking at it, and Michael Page was fighting.
Yeah, no, I wish he was. They're still. It looks like they're still feeding him. He lost to a guy who was 5-12 last year, Charlie Ontiveros, and he's fighting MVP, which is like, Look, I like MVP. He's exciting.
Love him.
Everything. You got to see this guy. He does everything unconventional, yeah. Greg. He's one of these guys that, like, everything he does.
I like that.
Hands down, walk away.
Do a power walk and then kick you in the face.
Totally flashy. But they're still feeding him guys, I think, to build his name up.
Right.
And that's annoying to me. Because I think he's won enough fights at enough karate tournaments in Europe and enough that they got to start giving him better guys. Ben Askren tweeted that too, right? Don't you agree?
Yeah, no, definitely. You know, I think, you know, even if he could say, you know what I mean, no one's obviously, you're going to give this guy a whack fighter, but you're going to still pay him, you know, pretty good money. He's not going to be like, no, give me someone tougher. He's going to take that fight. But even he, you know, even after talking to him and knowing him, he's a friend of mine. Even after talking to him and, you know, understanding what type of competitor he is, he is like, you know, I'm ready for the big guys. I'm ready for the big stage. I'm ready for the bigger names. But, you know, if someone's going to continue to give you, you know, fish for steak, you'll take that.
Fish for steak. Yeah, right. You mean take an easier fight for money?
Yeah, for the same amount of money.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, of
especially
course.
If you can build, get a little bit more acquainted with
I just want to see how good this guy really is. Yes, I want to see if his antics and his style
will translate.
Yeah. Because right now it
everyone
is.
Everyone does.
But I want
to
see.
Feel like someone's just going to try and take him to the ground and just make him stop all
Yeah,
that?
But they're not putting him against any wrestlers.
Right.
That's why I thought it was Brendan Ward versus Michael Page.
No, it's not.
The fight that most people want to see.
Yeah, I want to see if he could actually beat him. I don't think I don't know if he could beat Brendan Ward. I mean, yeah, Brendan Ward went down to Tamden. I mean, Tamden knocked him out.
He's surprisingly quick and powerful, and he doesn't look like, you know, much of a fighter. You know,
yeah.
If you picked anybody out of the bar to fight, he's going to be in your top five. And you're like, yeah, I'm going to fight that guy. I'm going to fight these other four guys.
Depends
and
on
that
if
guy.
I'm in the bar.
Yeah. Well, you're going to be in the top five as well.
I'm going to be number one.
That
start
guy.
Start with him.
Start with him.
That chubby one
but,
right there.
But you know, the guy that knocked out Ward is probably, he just looks unassuming. You know, he doesn't
so
look,
unassuming. He doesn't and he was look, coming off not, a four-year layoff or
right.
something.
He's not jacked. He's not, you know, he got a big chin with muscles hanging out of his neck. You know, he just looks like, oh, whatever.
He's got a good fight coming up. But he's actually in the UFC right now, Tamden is. And he's fighting Josh Saman. It should be a good fight.
Really. Josh Seaman?
Saman. Saman's a guy who knocked out.
You know, his whole life they've been calling him Seaman.
Yes, yeah. That's why he could fight so well. Yep. So New Jersey is trying, their judges are trying a thing called a soundproof box. They're trying to put judges now in soundproof boxes so they're not swayed by the audience.
Oh, yay!
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
well, obviously some of them have been in a sightproof box.
Very true. Yeah. Very true.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, their whole job is to not be influenced by the crowd. I mean, if you can't do your job,
we got to make a box for you.
Yeah, why you got to make a box? Like, do your job.
It's a judge in a box.
I mean, do you think it's a good idea?
I think it's a good idea.
You do?
It's not a good idea when you put humans in the situation to make them do a job. Sometimes that job is not done, and the sport suffers from it. The fighters suffer from it. So when you can fix a situation, whether it's okay, you can't hear. I don't think they got to put them in a box. Put them on some headphones on.
Soundproof box, yeah, man.
I think logistically they could give them noise canceling headphones. Yeah. I would like to see them in a clear plastic box. But
yeah.
The point is, it doesn't.
So we
matter.
Know who the judges are.
They're in the hot.
And
box.
Then if they get it wrong, they just like put gas in there. Yeah. And we can just watch them
but
die.
I think that's not the answer. The solution is they don't need to be in a plastic box. They need to know more about.
That's what
educated.
I'm saying.
They need to watch more fights.
But they're not.
But I could see them being swayed. I mean, I could see just people are human. At the same time, like, I mean, I've watched fights with the sound off, and I've watched fights with Rogan's commentary or the other commentary, and it's a whole different fight sometimes.
It's a whole different fight. I often watch, more times than not, I watch the fights with the sound off, just so I can study it more, I can see more realistically who's winning and things like that. But when you have the people talking, it definitely, I mean, whether you can hear Joe Rogan or not as a judge, it definitely persuades you as far as what the crowd is, especially if you're fighting a guy from that area, that anything he does is going to, you know, ooh, ah, ah, and anything the other guy does, they're not going to say anything about it. You know, a lot of times I fought this guy in Utah, from Utah, probably 500 people in the crowd were wearing his shirt. I mean, I lied to
was
you.
Was he
not.
White?
He was a white kid, yeah.
Of course, it's Utah.
Yeah, it's Utah. So I took the guy down.
When you got there, they got one black person.
And it was my mom, you know? So I took the guy down, and I'm literally cutting him up with elbows on top. I'm just raining on him.
Yeah.
And I haven't even stopped to breathe yet. I'm basically just Rodney Keening his ass. I'm just beating the hell out of him from on top. And they're booing, you know what I mean? I mean, the whole crowd is booing, but at no point was it boring. I'm crushing this dude left and right. Like, where's my lunch money type of beatdown?
Right.
And they're
I like
booing.
That better than Rodney
so
King
if, if the judges were sitting there, you know, and they're seeing me on top, a good judge is going to understand that I'm doing damage. I should not be brought to my feet or anything of that sort. But the referee, who's also a little bit manipulated by the judging and the crowd and everything like that, is going to be like, well, you know, it's about entertainment and they're not being entertained because, you know, this is their guy. So he brought me to my feet.
But that's the ref's problem.
Yeah, that's the ref's problem. But the judges are still there watching that. You get what I'm saying? So it definitely changes the way they feel about what's going on.
So you're for the soundproof box?
I'm for not letting them hear what people are doing.
I wish I had soundproof girlfriends, like, so they could just actually just, like, your girl comes home, starts fucking, then just go in the box, and then you can just sit there while she's pretending to talk to you.
Listen, half our audience wishes I was in a soundproof box.
That's true. Half the audience could hear the podcast live while it's going on because of you. I said, Greg Wilson, the only comic that could do well at the Laugh Factory and the Improv at the exact same time.
Terry, I was at the Haha last night, and Terry, the owner of the club, comes walking and she goes, Greg, I heard you from down the street. And I was like, good, well, people know there's a show going on.
Have you always been this loud?
Always.
Like you were in the womb laughing?
Maybe. I don't know. My whole family's loud. We're loud people. My dad was loud. My brother's loud. We're all loud. But here's the funny thing, because I have so many brothers and sisters. At home, I was the quiet one.
That's why you guys are loud. Because
you have to be louder than the rest of the crowd.
We're all in the room talking about something particular, it's like being in the lunchroom. Everyone slowly but surely gets louder.
Yeah.
And then if you live that way for...
Yeah, I have four
years.
Brothers and two sisters, and I'm a middle child.
Right.
So you're competing. I had to be loud.
So Bubba, as far as the weight cut, how's that going?
It's going good, man. I'm actually down to I saw 158 on the scale the other day.
You got 13 pounds to go.
Yes, that was pretty early for usual. I mean, 2 weeks out, I'm 13 over.
So are you cutting out ice cream, cutting out cake, cutting out
been
pizza?
Cutting out of that stuff. Yeah.
Now, are you thinking about after the fight what you're going to eat?
No, I don't think about that anymore because it's a given. I'm going to eat crab legs.
Crab legs?
Without a question. Without a question.
You can't eat crab legs now?
I'm not talking about after weigh-ins. I'm talking about after the fight. Well, I don't eat it now because, you know, it's a rewarding thing to me.
Yes.
You know, so after the fight,
Where do you go for the crab legs?
Sometimes I just go to the store and get them and make
them
myself.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. I like.
So how would someone taste. Like Adam enjoy crab legs?
Around here, it's gonna be Red Lobster. I mean, or the crawl.
Well, Joe's
crawfish.
Crab Shack.
Red Lobster. Nice I always get worried about Red Lobster. I feel like they're like the special lobsters. They have like three legs. You know, like they just have like.
Listen, I feel like when you're on the road, I like the Red Lobster.
I do, but they always seem like they're like $4 for some reason. I'm like, why is every other lobster like $20 bucks and Red Lobster it's like $7?
You know which crab legs I don't particularly like? The ones at the Vegas buffet.
Oh yeah,
when it's just a pile of ice cold.
I hate
crab legs. I mean, I eat them, but I hate cold crab.
I hate cold seafood in general, other than sushi. If you have like cold shrimp and cold crab, cold mussels, I hate it.
Lobster,
it's a pet peeve. Cold lobster, I hate it. If it's not hot and warmed and got butter for it,
drawn butter.
That's the one thing. Growing up in Maine, the lobster was so damn good.
Yo, you gotta hit up some of your friends from there and tell them to send me some.
All right, I will. For real?
For real. I'm not. Look at my face, dog. Do I look like I'm joking? Call your friends. Tell them to send you some Maine lobster.
Yeah, you ever go to Maine? The new Maine lobster thing in Vegas. They have it. Like somebody went on that like show. Shark Tank. Had this lobster. It's like a lobster store, and then they have them all over, and it's like it's called Me Lobster or Maine. I don't know if it's Me Lobster or Maine Lobster, but it's actually really good. It's like you could actually get lobster there. I love it. It's in Vegas. I have it all the time.
I'll go. I'm going tomorrow night. I'll go buy Maine
Lobster. Nice. It's in the Miracle Mile Mall.
Oh, okay, sure. Yeah.
It's right there.
That's great.
By the way, guys, if you're listening, December 12th, that week, I think the 7th to the 12th, I will be in Vegas performing at the Stratosphere. So I know that whole week is going to be great. It's Paige Van Zandt versus Joanna Calderwood. That's on Thursday night. Friday night is to Frankie Edgar versus Mendez. And Saturday night is to Aldo versus McGregor. It's like back-to-back-to-back-to-back things. I can't wait.
What's the club at the Strat?
What?
What's the club at the Stratosphere?
The L.A. Comedy Club.
Oh.
What week is that?
They're moving it to the second week of December. First week of December. But second week. By the way, so the Mets, right? I'm a Met fan. I've always been a Met fan. So we're in the World Series.
They're in the World Series.
Want to hear something funny? So me and my dad are...